So how do we reconcile trying to understand God when we know that on one level, the God of the Bible is far beyond our understanding? In fact, he states in his word that as high as the heavens are above the earth. Well, let me quote it correctly in Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we understand from one level, Wayne Anthony Lewis will never, ever, in the natural, be able to fully understand God's motives for everything. A time may come where I will, but it's not today. Not while I'm in this flesh. But yet, how can we understand God when he doesn't make sense? Or it doesn't make sense that he would allow us to go through what we go through. And I know that some of you that are listening today, right now, if you were given a microphone and an opportunity to share the things that you're going through, it would be devastating. Whether it be the loss of a loved one, the doctor says it looks like, and it was, cancer, a divorce, your life's in danger, you wore the wrong colors, and now you're up against it. Tomorrow in school, you're facing that group again, that bully, whatever the case may be. And I don't make light of it, because it's easy for someone who is not going through something to say, "Ah, man, just trust God. God is good. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal." But when you're the one that's living it, when you're the one that has to face those mountains and those giants, and it seems that you're all alone, you really want to hold on to God. So let me help you. There's a few things you can do that will help God to make more sense to you. Because it all boils down to something. Either you believe that he is God all by himself, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars, the wind and the rain, the God of all flesh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Rock, your Redeemer, Jehovah Secundu, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Nisi, the banner, that you believe that God is all of these stuff, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Either you believe these things or you don't. If you do believe, then you're going to know this, that when we read the Word of God for ourselves, two things will always happen. The first thing is, we know what it says, and we are able to recognize when we hear a lie. When you read God's words for yourself, you understand what it says, and you understand when someone is telling you the opposite. For example, if you read the word, you know God is not a female. He identifies as a male. Small thing. But it's a big thing. If you read the Word of God, you know that God cannot lie. So everything he says is truth, even when it doesn't make sense to us, and even when it hurts. So everything the Bible says about God is true. He's a God of love. He's a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's also a God of judgment. He's also a God of wrath. All that's true. He's all of that and more, so much more. The second thing happens whenever we begin to read God's word, we position ourselves to be blessed. And I want you to understand this, because it took me some time as a believer to really understand. The more of the Bible that I read, it affected my perspective. it affected my decision making, how I acted and how I reacted, what I thought was funny. I began to change. Not because I was looking at the Bible and says, okay, do not eat pork or thou should not steal. And it says all of those things, and you have to understand the context and the content of those things. But the more that I read, the more that I began to understand that God wasn't trying to take anything away from me. He was actually trying to give me something. He wanted to bless me. He wanted me to be prosperous. Now, the prosperity may not be driving a Benz or a Mercedes or living in a four-bedroom house, or it may not be that, but it definitely can include that and more. He wanted me to be best, to be blessed. He wanted me to be the best Wayne Anthony Lewis that I could be. And I believe once you begin to read, you no longer are living a day-to-day life. You are no longer being blitzkrieg against by the enemy. A peace that surpasses all understanding begins to guard your heart, your mind, and your soul. You begin to understand what authenticness looks like. Let me give you an example. The Bank of England trains its employees some 100 hours on the value of currencies and spends about 250 hours per employee handling physical money. And the theory is simple, that once they understand what $100 look like, feels like, what it looks like in certain kind of lights, once they understand the texture of it, they will immediately recognize a counterfeit because they have spent so much time with the authentic. Well, that's exactly what God wants for us. He wants you and I to spend time with Him because He is the original authentic one. He is the God of truth, the Spirit of truth. He is the great I Am. And the more that we know Him, the more time we spend in His Word, the more time we spend praying and hearing His voice, we will recognize a lie. That wasn't God that was speaking. That's not what the Word says. God does not want me to do that. God doesn't want me to change my gender. God doesn't want me to be so committed to a political party that I forget the biblical principles that I stand for. You know, God is amazing. If the second thing happens when we read the Word, listen to this. When we read the Word, or we learn how to heed. We learn how to heed. H-E-E-D. This is an old English word. It means to pay attention to. It means to give consideration. It means that we really begin to slow ourselves down in this fast-paced world. And just from a sports perspective, when you, as an athlete, are able to slow the game down, you are actually speeding up your advancements and your process. When you can break down what's going to happen, this pass is going to lead to this pass. So if I position myself into this area, I'm going to be able to get that steal, to get that break, to take that shot, to win that game. The game actually slows down the more that you heed or you pay attention and you consider what's taking place. The exact same truth applies to life. When we read God's Word, we begin to heed. We begin to consider. We understand that, okay, 1 + 1 always equals 2. We put ourselves in a position to not to do certain things because you realize there will be consequences and repercussions for those actions. In order to avoid that, we need to be in the right space, in the right place, at the right time. I love God's word for that. A third thing happens, and I'm going to conclude by saying this, is that when we spend time in God's word, God begins to make sense. Why? We begin to meditate on his word. We begin that mental exercise, that consideration, that repetition. We begin to really understand that his word is not it's not empty. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and powerful, or sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. We begin to recognize that God's word is life. It's powerful. It's necessary. I pray that you understand that what I'm saying to you is that there are times where God doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense why God would allow David, who was just a boy, to face Goliath. But you could see after what the end result was, that God used it as an opportunity to show the world that God can use anyone or anything to give him glory and honor and praise. God loves you, and he wants you to understand who he is. He wants you to understand how much he loves you. Today, why don't you do something just a little bit different? Why don't you spend time with him and ask him to open up the eyes of your understanding? It is my prayer that your eyes will be forever open, and that your heart will be forever changed by his grace and by his mercy and by his love and by his compassion. That you too will recognize that yes, God does make sense.